Kentucky Lake and Barkley, Sardis, Ross, Burnett, Toledo Bend, Rayburn, and Conroe, he won't forget. He loved Lake of the Ozark, he loved Table Rock. Bull shows on the White River, he ain't gonna never stop.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. We have Mike Ritz from the Adventures South of the Border. Actually, I guess it's a worldwide syndicated program right now with his with the Grizz and Charlie. But Grizz, let's go ahead and jump into a couple of different things. We've got some tournaments coming up in Baja, and we're just kind of wondering why, in September, October, and the beginning of November, as they have all these tournaments down there.
Well, like I said, John, one of the reasons is because it's the hurricane season's past now, so they feel safer there, that they don't have a surprise and have to make any cancellations. The other thing, right now, you can catch every billfish, meaning the sailfish, the black marlin, the blue marlin, the striped marlin, right now. They're all together, eating together. So that's why they have the big marlin tournaments. Like the Bisbee's going to be here next week. This starts the 23rd, so it's going to be here in a little longer than a week, and it's going to be great. Last year, $6 million was passed out.
What are you talking about?
$6,229,000.
Wow.
That's the kind of jackpot we're talking about.
Well, no, I knew that there was a few years ago, there was a world record there. It was over $3 million, but now it's, man.
Right now, there are 83 boats already signed up for it. And this one, the Black and Blue, which is held by the same company, there are 49 boats signed up right now. Then we move on. Now, that's the largest marlin tournament in the world. And then after that's over, we have the big tuna.
Okay.
And the tuna that it is the largest tuna tournament in the world.
Yeah. Hey, Grizz, guess what we have?
What we have?
We have Chucky on the line. And, of course, up in East Cape. And then we also have Bob from Western Outdoor News. And Western Outdoor News is a sponsor of the tuna tournament. But let's go ahead.
How are you guys?
There you go. Let's go ahead and start off with Chucky and see what's happening up in East Cape.
Hi, Chucky.
Hey, how are you guys? How's everything with you?
Hey.
We're just
good, buddy.
Just getting better. And Grizz was just talking about how good the fishing is in Southern Baja.
You know, indeed, it's really good. It picked up a lot after the rains, that little storm went by. Things started to pick up a lot of. Right after the storm, of course, the Dorado came back really, really hard, really nice. Lots of tuna, lots of sailfish. Sailfish, blue marlin is the one who came around. Kind of the stripers kind of went kind of disappeared for a while. And they're still catching some, but, there's more of the sailfish, more blue marlin coming around. The wahoo hit last this week really, really good. It was a nice wahoo week. It's been throughout the day. So it's just coming around. And, of course, this weekend we have our first tuna shootout here at Palm of the Fest. So it's going to be I think it's going to be a really nice event.
Yeah, Chucky, right before we got you on the phone, we were talking about, and by the way, hi, Bob. We're talking about all the tournaments that are happening down here this time of the year. We go, well, why all the tournaments happen this time of the year? And, Grizz is saying, well, first of all, it's hurricane season is over, and this is the time of the year where all the fish are. So you've got the tuna shootout, and then, of course, we got the Little Bisbee, the Big Bisbee, and then the Western Outdoor News big tournament in Cabo. So it's pretty exciting time of the year. Tell us real quickly about tuna shootout at Knees Cape.
Well, it's very simple. It's the same format as the Dorado shootout. We have a one-day tournament. The biggest tuna wins Of course, the jackpot, and to win a lot of gifts, a lot of things, a lot of stay back in the hotel. And, of course, this is kind of like a cash tournament between the all the participants and, of course, the entry fees and everything. So it's a big jackpot. So the jackpot grows as people come in, so it's somewhat, you know, a jackpot tournament. But, of course, we get the good bags, we get the hats, we get the shirts. We get, you know, it's a really nice, fun tournament. It's, of course, one-day tournament. The biggest tuna, of course, wins it all. Mm-hmm. If they participate in all of the jackpots, of course. If not, it's, you know, it's kind of disappear. It's divided among the people who entered. So it's really nice. Right now, we have about 45, 50 boats signed up. We are expecting around 70 to 80 boats for the first year. So I think it's going to be a really nice event. Of course, one-day event this October 13th down here at Palma de Costa.
Hey, Bob.
Boy, that does sound like a hell of a shootout, I tell you.
Yeah. I was going to say, Bob, let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready to hop down there right now. Let's go.
Well, and also just real quick in passing, we have Fish Talk Radio is going to be down there with a few people November 2nd to the 6th, I think. So I believe we've got one room left because we had a cancellation. So if anybody's interested, get in touch with us. But this is the time of the year. It's my favorite time because the water temperature, what's the water temperature out there now, Chucky?
It's 84, 86 degrees.
And the air temperature?
The temperature is down to maybe 95 during the
That's season. Perfect. That's
nice.
Perfect.
Hi, well, the other thing, limit, John, you got to know right now is everything is green.
Yeah.
There's no brown. Right. It's beautiful here.
And, well, let's see. Let's talk real quick. We talked about the Bisbee, which you said there's a $6 million prize. One of the things that's a little bit more affordable but just as exciting, if not more so, Bob, is a Western Outdoor News tournament. And as Grizz said, that's probably the biggest tuna tournament in the world.
Well, it's coming up fast. You know, November 7th through the 10th with sign-ups open right now. And the Western Outdoor News Yamaha Los Cabos Tuna Tournament for this year is going to be one of our biggest. So far, last year we had 108 boats get out in a bad economy.
Yeah.
Registrations are running high already. We've got a nice early entry savings program, so if you sign in early. But here's the best part. The fishing's been awesome. We all know about Guy Yoakam's big money-winning fish.
423 pounds, whatever it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 427.
Okay.
And you know, worth $1 million. But what's going to happen here is last year we had a couple of fish over 200 pounds, one at 213 pounds. We had several fish in the 100-plus range. The fishing has just been awesome this time of year. It's just off the hook.
Yeah, well, let's go.
And, I can't participate, so it doesn't do me any good. But we go down there and have a hell of a good time.
We can go down there and have a great time. Matter of fact, you ought to go down with me. I'm trying to talk you into going down to East Cape with me. You know,
I heard that.
And Chucky's Van Warmer Resorts. You know, that's the kind of place. It's not just for hardcore anglers. It's a place where guys can go down and their wives can, or significant others, can enjoy the beach, the pool, the weather is awesome. So now is the time to go down.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just the weather, but the conditions. You know, you're not getting pummeled, like Chris said, you know, earlier the hurricanes were hitting. Now it's just getting so calm and pleasant. It's just gorgeous down there.
Right. Well,
Bob, are you going to be down for the tuna tournament?
You know, I actually have another assignment. They got me going the other direction this year. So, no, I'm not going to be there.
I'll be down there like I was last year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's always a good time.
And you're going to be down there for the Bisbee, too, Grizz. Chucky and Bob, we're going to have to let you guys go right now because we got stuff coming up. But stop, you know, give Chucky a call at 877-777-TUNA. Right, Chucky?
That's correct.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Okay, Bob, we'll talk to you soon.
Have a great time.
Let's get on down there. Grizz, you stick around. We'll be back with you momentarily. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And man, we're having such a good time today. Grizz, we just got through talking to Southern Baja about all the tournaments coming up. We had Bob from Western Outdoor News. We had Chucky from the Van Wert Resorts in East Cape. And we're talking about the Bisbee and the Tuna Tournament. And now we've got someone else that is quite a consummate expert on
he's
Baja.
He's a legend in his own time, John.
That's true. Well, we don't want to say how long he's been doing it because he's not that old, so he must have started young. But we have Gary Graham from Baja on the Fly, who's been, he was one of the pioneers, actually, from what I understand, in fly fishing in Southern Baja. And I visited his place once or twice when he was down in the East Cape area and taking people out. And, you know, things have changed. Things are a little bit different. He's still doing it, but he's doing it a little bit different way. But let's talk to Gary and find out about what's been happening in fly fishing in saltwater in Baja and maybe some other places, Gary.
Okay, I can do that. Grizz, will you hush up and quit talking so loud? I can't talk over you.
Gary, you never will. One day you and I are going to go side by side with fly rods, and I know you're going to kick my butt, but I'm going to have a good time doing it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I saw you doing that one time in Mag Bay a long time ago. Anyway, let's talk about East Cape. Let's talk about world records. How many world records have been applied for rooster fish in the world in the last during 2012, Grizz?
I give up. I know of three that I've personally seen.
Three in 2012?
Yeah, that I personally have seen, Gary.
Ah, okay. Well, according to IGFA, there have only been three records applied for, and all of them came from the East Cape for rooster fish in 2012.
Yeah.
Of those three, two of them have been awarded to Valerie Simpson, who lives at East Cape, for catching them, by the way, on a fly rod and a 16-pound tippet, and the other one on a 20-pound tippet.
That's great. Absolutely incredible.
Well, Gary, for the people that don't quite understand, I mean, most people have heard about rooster fish, but what is it that makes them so exciting? First of all, I know that they like to stay in, you know, shallower water, and they're a lot of fun to catch, and they are targeted a lot because you can actually catch them from shore. But give us an idea, why they're so popular as a sport fish.
Well, they are the, a lot of people consider them as equal to permit as far as the difficulty of catching them on anything, and specifically on fly, because they've, years ago, back when I first started doing all of this, it was common knowledge or common belief that they could only be caught on bait, and of course now they're caught on lures and they're caught on a lot of other things, but flies were one of the things that people thought it would be impossible to catch them on. It turned out that That wasn't true. My particular forte was fishing them from the beach, which, by the way, Valerie caught both of her fish from the beach. And like I say, and they were both quality fish. One was a 29-pound and the other was a 28-pound. So they were very nice-sized fish. And she's fairly new to the game. She's only been doing it for the last 3 or 4 years, but has become quite the angler. But rooster fish are a very strong fish. They're basically, at least for fly rod, fishing them with a fly rod. They're sight casts, so you're seeing them swimming along the shore, and you have opportunities to sight cast to them. But you can figure that maybe one cast out of 15 you're going to get a take, and that's not exaggerating at all. But they're a very strong fish. They stay on the surface. They don't generally fish or fight down deep, and they've become probably the most popular targeted fish of the fly rod set in all of Baja.
Gary, let me just make a quick comment, because not everybody has been to Baja, and you know, and especially the East Cape area. What's so exciting is the water is so clear that, you know, and you're fishing in probably, what, anywhere from 10 to 50 feet of water, something like that. And but the water is so clear, you could throw a coin in the water and see what it was at 20, 30 feet. And the water is warm, so that when these fish are swimming, you know, it's not like you're fishing, you know, for salmon or something, because you don't see them until they crash. But you can actually see them in the water, which is so exciting.
Absolutely. You can see the shadows of them as they're swimming along the shore. And part one of the things, by the way, if you haven't ever been to Baja, at least in the Sea of Cortez, there's very little surf. So you're really, it's like fishing a river. You just can't see the other bank. And it's black calm, or there's a little wind wave in the afternoon. But most of the time, early morning or late afternoon, it's just it's as flat as a river. The only thing is, like I say, it's just you just don't see the other bank. You can walk along the shore. You'll see the shadows of the fish, and these fish can be anywhere from a few pounds all the way up to 60 or 70 pounds. In fact, there was the other world record that's been applied for was a 101-pound fish that was caught at Punta Arena, also at East Cape, but it was on gear. It was on 20-pound gear. But that record is still pending. It's under review, and it has not been awarded yet. However, Valerie's, both of her fish, she's received the certificates for those.
Well, I've caught roosters, but it's always been with live bait, and it's, you know, just when you're trolling it behind there and the bait's swimming and you can see the fish chasing it, it's exciting. So you can only imagine what it'd be to see him take down a feather. Grizz, what kind of feather do you use for roosters?
I use a big one.
For big fish. Okay.
No, I haven't have the opportunity to fish much for roosters from the bank. Most of my stuff I'm doing is back in the mangroves and stuff like that. I'm not. We haven't made any shows, which I got to get with Gary. We got to make a show on surf casting with fly rods, because I haven't had a chance to do hardly any of that this year, John. Could you do that with me, Gary? Would you do a show with me on the bank?
Oh, sure. Be happy to, but we'll have to do it on a cool day where you don't have to walk too far.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't want to walk too far.
I'll just make a quick comment, Gary. when you were living down...
You're a little lonely today, aren't you, Gary?
Tit for tat, man. Go.
Gary, just a comment real quick. You know, what you were doing down in East Cape was primarily using the ATVs, where you would kind of cruise the beach and sight for roosters, and primarily roosters. But, you know, you can't do that anymore. And it's a long walk, you know, and at 5 miles of, you know, the Palmas de Cortez to try and walk around looking for roosters. So how has that affected the ability to do that?
Well, know, actually, it has changed it a bit. We haven't got as much access on the beach. We do have access on the beach in some places on ATV, but however, there are dirt roads that are all up and down the East Cape. The East Cape area, as far as beach is concerned, is a 30-mile universe. So you have 30 miles of beach that is accessible. A lot of it, you have to get to it by the roads behind the beach, but you can drive up and down those. I spent 30 days in all of May down there, and we fished beaches all the way from Los Frailes up to San Jose Island up above La Paz, fishing beaches and targeting rooster fish. However, just to clarify one thing, most of them are, we do always target rooster fish, but there's a lot of other species of fish. Actually, I just saw a Dorado that was caught the other day from the beach, so you'd be surprised what comes off the beach, some of it by fly, but also by conventional gear, with all of the new surface plugs and so on, and surf casting gear pins come out with some new spinning outfits and so on and so forth that are very high speed retrieve, and it's become very popular. I know that Felipe Valdez is doing beach trips now with strictly spinning tackle, but they're doing them at night, catching big pargo and dogtooth snapper and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of action on the beach. When I first started fishing the beach, I went to I was staying at Rancho Buena Vista at that time, and I spoke with the owner there and said, well, do you fish the beach? And he came out with a spinning rod. It was Chuck Walters, and he came out and used his flailed around with the spinning rod for about an hour, caught nothing. And I realized then that the beach was, at that time, was just considered kind of a way to get on a boat and send people fishing, because that's how they made their money. But now there are many, many people that are fishing the beach, both locals and visiting anglers that prefer to do that.
Now, when you're surf fishing out there, to throw it out there, you're using like 12, 13-foot rods. Is that right?
Are you talking about fly or
well, spinning, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spinning outfits. You know, most of the guys that are using them, they use them a lot for teasers, too, and are using 11-foot.
Oh. And what about when you're fly fishing? We're almost out of time, but do you use something different from the shore that you would from a boat when you're fly fishing along the surf?
No, not at all. And again, let's qualify that it really isn't surf. We're not fishing in the surf. But no, we use anywhere from an 8-weight to a 12-weight, depending on the size fish you're targeting, regular saltwater reels. The only difference that we do with the fly reels when we're fishing the beaches, we do use braid for backing, simply because you can jam much more line on the smaller reels.
Yeah, just in case you get something that wants to run. Anyway, we're going to have to go. Gary, real quickly, if someone wants to get in touch with you, can you give us your email real quick?
Sure. It's BajaFly@BajaFly.com. Our website is BajaFly.com, and you can find them at either place. Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, thank you, Gary. That was great. Grizz, you stick around. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we got more to come. We'll be right back with you.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years' experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real-world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Everybody always gets his one. me, I always get my way. When you talk about that 5-pound bass, dirty worm against the fish.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. Grizz, we've been having such a good time. That was a great segment with Gary, wasn't it? Talking about
it is. It's always fun to talk to Gary.
Yeah. Well, he is or was, I guess he still is, one of the pioneers in fly fishing.
He looks like a pioneer.
In saltwater. Oh, come on, he's just a kid.
Take that one, Gary, after I took all you gave me.
But no, he spent many years with Bahama the Fly and taking people down. You know, Grizz, I'm just kind of curious. This is kind of an off-the-wall question. But, you know, for years, Gary would take people out on ATVs where they would kind of cruise the beach, sight fishing.
Right.
And then, you know, throw, you know, a fly into the water when they, you know, when they look like there's some activity.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you can't do that anymore. And I'm just wondering, would it be possible to do that by horseback now? This is kind of a strange question.
Yeah, if not for you and I.
Oh.
Because we wouldn't make it, John.
Oh.
I wouldn't get off and catch a fish, get back on the horse, ride some more, get off. But I have done it. It's great.
Oh, that sounds like it'd be. Man, you know, this might be an idea whose time has come.
Yeah, the time may have come, but has already gone for me.
Okay, well, how about if we use donkeys then?
Like my mule?
No,
Marianne?
No. Mules are too big. Let's use donkeys.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting. Can you imagine you and I riding a donkey on the beach?
In Mexico? That makes sense.
Anyway. You would have to have a sombrero and a bottle of tequila.
Okay.
The hell with fishing.
Okay, let's get back to business. We've got a radio show to do here.
All right.
We've got John at Fishhound patiently waiting on the line for us, and he's probably listening to us on the phone going, what in the heck are these guys talking about? But anyway, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're having some fun. Great, great, great.
We are, John, we are.
So what do you think, John? You want to come down to Baja with us and cruise the beach on a donkey, sight fishing? We're fly fishing for roosters.
If I hop in the car right now, I could probably make it in about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. Well, give us an idea about Fishhound and what you guys, what kind of reports you guys are getting from around the country.
If you don't already know, Fishhound is one of the largest sources online for fishing reports. Taking a look at some of the hot fishing alerts this week, it looks like trout and salmon fishing is really kicking up as the fall season moves in. One place in particular is Convict Lake out in California in the eastern Sierra.
Oh, at Mammoth. That's such a beautiful place.
That's a beautiful place. Yeah, so many places to choose from.
Yeah, let me just make a quick comment because I fish Convict Lake. It is surrounded by high mountain peaks, and most of the year there's still snow on the mountains. And it's just a perfectly flat, calm. And when you look at the lake, you see the reflections from the mountains all around it into it. It's not that big, but they plant it pretty well. And I think they a lot of times put alpers in there too, don't they? The big
Correct.
Ones? Yeah. But no, that's awesome. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem at all. The best locations to fish right now are going to be in the middle to east shore by the marina. South Shore, Inlet Beach, North Shore, and Convict Creek as well. Other locations to try would be Windy Point. It's near a picnic area on the South Shore. And the tactics that people are using, pinch crawlers, gulp worms, night crawlers, power eggs. If you're looking to troll, try using little Cleos, Dave Davis night crawler, or lead core. 4 to 6 colors, Rapalas, Revels, any of those are really going to be productive right now. You've got weather conditions expecting to drop into the low 60s, mid-50s for the first part of this season, and then rising to the mid-60s during the end. Expect overnight temperatures to be in the high 20s, so it's not going to be as pleasant if you're fishing at night.
You know, something, we're talking about Convict Lake, which I thought was pretty amazing, and Grizz will probably know about this one, but a few years ago we were up there, there was some guy with a spinning rod and a bobber, and on the terminal tackle on the end, he had a woolly booger.
The woolly booger I invented.
And that's what I said that. And, you know, and here you got a fly that you're throwing on a spinning rod, but he was pulling out these 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 pound trout.
Great. It's for guys that don't know how to fly fish. You put one of those transparent bobbers on there, and you throw it out, and you work it like you do a fly rod.
Well, you're just kind of throwing it out there. So anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. Anyway, John, what else is happening around the country?
You should have smacked him for that.
It works. Hey, if it works, what can I say?
A little north of Convict, up at the Sacramento River, trout fishing has also been excellent. Salmon are starting to spawn, so egg patterns are in play. Trout are going to get fat with that extra protein. You know, there are a lot of good dry fly hatches in the evening, and the river is flowing at 6,000 CFS, and it's wadeable. So it's a good time for those fly fishermen that you just mentioned, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it in some parts of the country, people might start thinking that it's time to, put your gear away. But in most of the country, right now is actually one of the best times to get out there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you're talking about, the fish that like cooler water, like the salmon and the trout.
Yeah, you're right. Right now is a good time to be fishing everywhere. But the only thing of it is most people hunt and fish, and they're thinking about hunting now because they waited all year for the hunting.
Yep.
But and they're turning their back on some of the best fishing times of the ever is right now. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're fly fishing, you got every kind of hatch. The caddis hatches are coming off right now. You've got salmon hatches. You've got a lot of stuff. Here in Baja, you've got all the billfish. So, instead of killing a deer, let's catch a fish.
Well, maybe you can do both, but anyway.
Not here in Baja.
Not here, no. Probably not. Probably not. But, John, that's some great stuff. And if somebody wants to find out, and the great thing about Fishhound is it doesn't make any difference where you are or where you want to go. You guys have got it all covered. So how do they make that happen?
Just go to www.fishhound, there's two H's in there, .com, and you'll have access to over 2,000 waters across North America in fly, salt, and freshwater fishing.
Awesome. Hey, John, thank you very much for that for the hot tips, and we'll be talking to you hopefully real soon. Now, right now, we're going to go to Diamond Valley Lake, and we got Tawny on the line. And we were just talking, Tawny, about this is a good time of the year to go fishing, especially for salmonoids. So what's happening at Diamond Valley, which is one of the jewels of the kind of Southern California area, because it was a lake that was, was built as a water supply, but it's pretty much designed for fishing the way that it was built and the way it is stocked. So give us an idea what's going on there.
Well, we should be stocking trout here soon, and when we do, that's when fishing will be at its finest. So
mm-hmm.
probably going to be between late October and mid-November, our trout stock.
Tanya, can you talk up a little bit? I'm down here in Mexico, and I can't hear you, girl.
So we're going to be stocking trout soon, and it's probably going to be late October, mid-November.
Okay. And, the great thing, as I mentioned, about Diamond Valley Lake, I've had the opportunity to be there. And, they just kind of created it as, I guess, as a water supply for whoever. But they did it purposely to make it a prime fishing lake. And they've got a lot of, when they were digging around and pulling stuff out of the ground, they found things that they didn't know were there, and they built a little museum right next to it.
Yep, they sure did.
Mm-hmm.
I found that happened in my backyard too, John.
I wouldn't say, okay. But anyway, Tawny, give us an idea, what's happening in the next couple of weeks. So you said they're going to start the trout plants, towards the end of October?
Yeah, they're going to start stocking trout, and I mean, trout fishing will do pretty good, and as well as striper, because striper like to go for the trout. So if they use trout-like lures, then they should be catching plenty of striper bass.
Oh, okay. So it's not, because we know that bass, you know, the best bass lakes are the ones that they plant trout, because the bass, eat the trout before you get a chance to catch them.
Yeah.
But that's why they get so big.
Yeah. Yeah, this year we're hoping to stock the bigger trout so that
they
don't go as fast.
Yeah. It takes bigger bass, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. And do you have any
bigger trout.
Is there any facilities up there if people want to, you know, to stop in at Diamond Valley Lake? Is it just a day use?
Yeah, it's just day use. We go with the sun. We open at sunrise and close an hour before sunset.
And you do have a marina there?
Yes, we do have a marina here. And we rent boats. There's hiking, bike riding, shore fishing. You can also bring a private boat if you have your own boat or kayak.
Well, it's also the nice thing about it is there's a lot of facilities close by, so that you're far enough away from Los Angeles to be out in the country, but there's a lot of facilities close by that you can reach in just a few minutes.
Oh yeah, we have Hemet, Temecula, plenty of towns and different facilities around.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's about time for us to wrap it up, but if somebody wants to go visit Tawny at Diamond Valley Lake in 10 seconds, how do we reach you?
Well, we're 90 miles from Los Angeles. You can call us for directions. Phone number is 951-926-7201.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
It's 951-926-7201.
Perfect. And if you didn't get that, just tune back in to fishtalkradio.com and you can listen to it anytime. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Tawny, thanks for coming and joining us. And we'll hopefully talk to everybody real soon.